Hi, this is Chico Resch. You are listening to the Let's Go Devils podcast on the Primetime Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Let's Go Devils podcast. It is Sunday, which means Sam is on hiatus right now. I don't know what's going on with Sam, but I didn't want dead air, so I jumped in. Sam, are you there?
No.
Are you doing the intro? No, we're doing the intro. Oh, well, welcome, everybody.
Right.
Welcome, Shorts Guy, and me, the Beer Baron, and Scotty from Liquid Serious Metal, something or other.
Beer Baron. I can't take you seriously. You can't even get the monologue right.
Dude, I don't expect to be taken seriously. So, here's
If it was Shapes and Colors. For Shapes and Colors, it would have
Colors, baby. Well, I'm also in a live draft right now. I'm in a live hockey draft on my phone, and I am notoriously terrible at fantasy hockey. So I'm now just drafting anybody that has red in their jersey. So that's no, I'm kidding. Although my goalie tandem is Vasilevskiy and Otterding. Oh my god,
Ottinger.
Ottinger. God, yeah. I can't speak.
Ottinger.
Hey, you can't speak.
Jake.
Not tonight. Jake Ottinger.
No.
Yeah, as soon as I heard that that intro from Chico, my thought was like, I wonder who's gonna step up and do the intro. And then we all just stared at each other and our cameras, awkwardly wondering was
And then I panic and just verbal diarrhea just starts dumping out.
Oh.
Yeah, you sounded great, kid.
You should have heard on Hockey on Tap the other night, Billy Dean did the same thing. It was pretty hysterical. We made fun of him the rest of the night.
Hey, I have my pick is coming up. Should I pick Ehlers, William Nylander, Buchnevich, or Tim Stützle? Which are those four?
Stützle or Nylander, I would say.
I'm going to go with Stützle. I'm going to keep the theme of all my forwards and defensemen all have red in their jerseys somehow. So I'm going to keep it that. It's stupid. And you wonder why I come in last place in fantasy hockey every year.
No, I think we all know now.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, like, I try to draft. Last year, I really tried hard to draft, but for whatever reason, like, I just can't. I'm like, oh, I feel like my team is really good. And then I look on paper, I'm like, yeah, wow, look at this team. It's really stacked. And then I get blown out every game. I'm like, how the hell is this? And my buddy John, a friend of the podcast, John, he explains to me, like, dude, you got to find guys that, like, not only are going to just score a bunch of goals, but they're going to get, like, other, like, plus minus, or they're going to get penalty minutes. And he's like, sometimes a guy that's like a third liner who puts up, you know, 20 something goals, but does get a ton of penalty minutes ends up winning you fantasy hockey. And I'm like, oh, okay. Good notes. doesn't seem to help, but I think I'm going to go with Stützle. That's what I'm going to do. It was either him or Teravainen. Could go Teravainen. Anyways, Devils make roster cuts, but what do we know?
Oh, yeah. I was reading that the other day. Yeah, it's insane.
Uh-oh.
What?
You were going dip, 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 dip.
Oh, yeah. That's just my internet. It's
Well, the first round of
groundbreaking.
The first rounds of cuts are never usually a big shock. I mean, players like Stillman get sent back down to OHL. It's always the guys that are either first-year guys or just kind of on the cusp of not really doing much but making it to the AHL or going back to their OHL team or going back overseas. So to me, it's never like a huge surprise, like that first round of cuts. It's never like, my God, breaking news podcast. We must know everything that's going on, like who the goaltender was in the game before. But it's pretty much across the board. It's kind of expected. The guys that are going to get cut are going to get cut, and they're not really cut. Mm-hmm. They're just like, all right, you know what? Thanks.
Reassigned.
Reassigned. That's it. I think cut is a harsh word because when you say like, oh, they're roster cuts, it's like, oh, it sounds like the guy never made the team. No, it's just you get reassigned to either the AHL or to whatever affiliate they're with. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a bad thing. You know, for some guys, it's actually really good. It's like, you're not ready yet, pal.
It's just the experience of being up, you know, with the big team for a little bit of the preseason, getting to see how the team operates, getting to kind of live the life of a professional for a little bit. And then you go back to your team, and it gives you that little bit of extra incentive to do better in the season coming up. I mean, it sucks to get cut. I was cut a couple times, and it's never fun. But, you know, this is a different type of cut. You're right. It's just a reassignment, which I also have had happen to me. So it's like it's not always bad. Sometimes it's all right. Well, here's what we see. Here's what you have to improve. And you're almost given like a laundry list of us like homework to do over this coming season what, you know, what they're observing. And basically if you're going to be a good professional hockey player, you're going to take the advice they give you and be like, yep, all right, this is my list of things to accomplish this season. This is what I'm going to improve. And, you know, like you just said, for not every guy, it's the worst thing in the world. It's the player's attitude as well. You know, and that's another part of being a professional too, is kind of dealing with this and knowing that it may be coming and how you handle it. It's a part of the game, but it's, you know, this is that time of season, in the preseason at least, when those things happen. So, but yeah, like, you know, no big shock, no big surprise there.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, drafting Cole Caulfield because he has Redden's jersey.
You just have a man crush on him. That's all.
I mean, him and Jack together. You're not telling me that chemistry would be instantaneous. It would be like an 80s sitcom. They would be palling around town, scoring goals in bunches. You tell me I'm wrong.
I told everybody the other day when he scored in the Montreal game. I'm like, now we're gonna have to hear from Beer Baron all season long about. We need to trade for Cole Caulfield. When Jack Hughes and him were together on the USA Juniors team.
Why do I sound like Carl from Aqua? Well, actually, that's every impersonation that you do.
Basically, yeah. I do have a question for you guys, though, and I want to give some credit to our good friend Nick Volano, who you can hear on the State of the Fan address here on the Let's Go Devils Network, but he also's got that site, Pucks and Pitchforks. And he put out an article the other day, and it's quite intriguing. It's entitled, Do the Devils Have a Fabian Zetterlin Problem? Because Fabian Zetterlin cannot go through waivers anymore.
Ooh.
I mean, he can't bypass them. If he gets put on waivers, someone is going to snatch him up. The other problem is Jesper Boqvist. Also, if going to be demoted, he needs to pass through waivers. So the solution that Nick had proposed was, obviously you don't want to lose Zetterlin and Boqvist for nothing because they will get claimed. Do you demote Mikey McLeod and Andreas Janssen to the AHL level to start out the season so you don't have to lose Zetterlin and Boqvist via waivers? And I'm going to say that's a hard yes for me. You know, like, that's...
Or...
Or what?
E is there's a trade. There's a trade.
Or there's a trade.
Or there's a trade to clear up space, because... They're so close to the cap ceiling, you can only imagine that there's going to be some kind of move, right? Unless they're coming. Because is freaking. Yeah, I can't. My brain is just broken today. come on, Jonathan Bernier. Jeez, come on, brain. Is Bernier, is he definitely going on the LTIR? Or is he. Because he's been.
No, I mean. Yeah, so I wouldn't think so. I'm not sure what's going on in that situation either.
I don't know what would qualify him to go on the LTIR if that was going to be the case. Because when I heard he was on the practice rink, I was like, wait a minute, I didn't think this was possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, well, that was kind of like an out of left field. Like, oh crap! I mean, unless maybe they decide to move him. You know, if he's healthy enough to go, can they move him? I don't know what his – I can't remember what his contract looks like, if he can be sent down to – or just traded. I mean,
for condition, sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, there's also the option you can send down some others like an Alexander Holtz who wouldn't go through waivers. But when you see the chemistry that he's had with Palat and Hughes already on that top line. Oh,
I don't think you can send him down.
Exactly. There's some of these guys that I feel like you're not going to send Dawson Mercer back down. You know, like,
no.
Nope.
So it could get into that pickle. And I know we had that situation. What was it, last year or the year prior? I can't remember who we lost to the Dallas Stars, but everyone was up in cahoots about, how can they let this guy go on waivers? I can't remember who it was.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah,
they're definitely not.
How can you take any of us serious if we can't even think this through? There's three of us, and none of us can come up with a conclusion. What are we, a bunch of morons? By the way, I'm drafting Zach Werenski next because he's got red in his jersey. So cram it.
Okay.
You know what? It's October 2nd right now. I want to hear your final record at the end of the season.
Oh, it would be bad.
Halfway
through the season, I give up. Like, I straight up give up because I'm like, how am I? I get so mad because I'm losing so bad. And I'm like, my team's so good. And I'm moving people in and out. I'm like making trade or doing whatever I have to do. And I'm still getting my butt kicked. So I'm like, and then I give up. And then like last year, I gave up and I finished like near the bottom, but I wasn't in last, which is good. But we'll find out.
So by February, you're that guy that has a player that's injured in your starting lineup.
Oh, for sure. Not like one, like five. I have like five guys injured. They're like, who's this goalie? Wait, what? Torrey Klug? What? And I'm like, yeah, dude, deal with it. The team sucks. Anyways, it's an interesting problem, and the team is also practicing in front of fans. I know Nico Hischier addressed the fans today. I know there's a lot of concern about his injury or what started out as cramping and then turned into like a hamstring pull or something like that. And
pulling a hammy,
dude. So I know there's a lot of people that are really worried about, you know, the longevity of our captain or the health or the status of what he's going to be for the beginning of the year. But I mean, the good thing is it happened now. And if he did tweak something and you can be a very in tune athlete and still tweak a muscle just because like game speed is so much different than practice speed. So much different than conditioning. Conditioning, you're basically going A to B, right? You get into a game, you're starting to move in different ways like that you don't really normally move that way in a practice. I know it sounds kind of weird because you're like, well, in a practice you're doing all these drills that simulate a game, but a game is different. The flow is different, the feel is different. I mean, Shorts Guy, could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. No, game conditions are so hard to replicate in practice. I mean, even as, you know, especially from the goaltending standpoint, you know, practices are pretty good and set up to where you know where the shots are going to come from or you know what the drills are going to be in a game situation. You have to be free flowing and free thinking. So, you know, there are very little, as far as goalie is concerned, for example. In a practice, you may not have a lot of scramble situations where in a game you're probably going to have at least one or two. And that's really where you're going to get hurt is when you get into that situation within a game, like you're saying, you know, potentially speed wise, or just you're in a position to where you have to get out of it that wouldn't be there in practice. And you just kind of make that wrong move and that injury occurs. It's the nature of sports. It's not just hockey. It's not just preseason. It's just the nature of sports. Sometimes you get into that situation. It sucks, but you know, like you said, it's it's preseason, so if there's a time for him to miss and to sit out, now's that time. Like, let him heal up. It's not critical that he needs to be on the ice right now with the team. It would be great if he's the captain, but it's not mm-hmm. critical, because this actually is going to give an opportunity to see, you know, maybe one more player that we may not have seen with Nico in the lineup. But mm-hmm. you know, it's I'm not too concerned. If it goes beyond this time period, then maybe I'll start to get concerned. But I'd rather them play it cautious right now at the beginning of the season, because there's really no need for him to be out there until game one, you know, right. Against the Flyers. So let him rest. We know what he can do. The team knows what he can do. The coaching staff knows what he can do. Let him sit.
And even if he misses the first, you know, four or five games of the season, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like he's going to miss, you know, 3 months at the beginning of the year, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
That's why you'd rather have him sit out so he only misses right maybe now, two or three, yes. instead of, like, really yeah. getting himself injured and having to miss, like, 2 months instead.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. That's the worst thing you can do is when you try to push it and what was a small injury gets re-aggravated because you get yourself into another situation on the ice where you make a right. wrong move and you make things worse. So mm-hmm. just let him sit for now. Like, there's no need to panic right now. It's you know, we just had a discussion 5 minutes ago about having you know, problems with you know, who are we going to send down, because we've got four players that are, you know, potentially worthy of being on the team. That's a fantastic problem. I you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not where you're scrounging and you're like, oh man, who can we make yeah. a trade with to, like, fill a roster spot?
Yeah. We have two roster spots and we're worried about, you know, four players that can fit into that roster spot instead of having two roster spots going, oh crap, who are we going to put there? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather be in a situation that we're finding ourselves in. And, you know, as far as me, you know, we've got so much positives that, you know, I hope people aren't looking for negative things to look at just because that's what
they
used
do.
To the last couple
have
years.
You been on Twitter?
Oh, I know.
Have you been on any social media? Have you read anything?
For my own mental health, I try to avoid Twitter when it comes to sports because I know it's just a crap show and I want nothing to do with it.
Dude, it gets to the point where it's like, okay, even when things are going good, it's always like that. Well, when's the other shoe going to drop? And it's like, if you live your life that way, then I feel bad for you, man. Like, you can't constantly wait for something bad to happen because, oh, we haven't won in so many years. Like, okay, yeah, that's true. But at the same time, like, you could look at yourself in this kind of light. You're a fan of a team who has three Stanley Cup, you know, championships in the last 30 years. You could be a fan of a team that has one Stanley Cup in the last, I don't know, 70 years. If you know what I mean. So put yourself in the shoes of, like,
this is their year.
Yeah, oh God. Times have been rough. Dylan Larkin, you got a red jersey. Welcome to the team. this is actually becoming a kind of a game.
They're all going to be red shirted and sitting out for the season. That's what they're going to be.
Oh, pretty much. I'm like, oh, how many guys can I have from Florida or Calgary on my team? Jesus. or Detroit. So anyways, like, yeah, you can live with that negativity, and I'm not saying, like, be overly optimistic, but at the same time, like, you have to look at this team with a little bit of optimism this year, and you have to look at this team with, like, a little bit of excitement. In years past, like, yeah, when we had the Subban trade and they had that big, you know, big show, and you showed up with the Ric Flair thing, it was awesome. It was cool. Mm-hmm. We were all excited. We were like, Nikita Gusev is going to be better than Panarin. Whoops. You know, but
whoops,
got that one wrong. But at the same time, like, the team this year, it does. There is a different feel about it. Even watching the preseason games, yes, we do watch it. So even watching the preseason games, like, there is a different feel about the team. Like, you could see, like you said, that Palat, Holtz, and Hughes line. you know, it just seems like there's a little bit of chemistry, and you got to think about it. It's not like these guys have played that long together. So the fact that they can already start to get like a little bit of a feeling together, and
that's great.
My
it's
goodness.
Fantastic.
That blind pass that Holtz had to Hughes to score that goal. If that's what we're going to be seeing throughout the year, you got Palat going into the corner, digging out the puck. You got Holtz going into the corner with him. And then you have Jack kind of just sneaking in the back door, and Holtz just like looked over his shoulder, boop, and it was perfect pass, perfect goal. If that's what you got to look forward to, I mean, it's going to be a fun year. So, optimism.
No, I mean, I think they've already showed a chemistry like they've already been playing as a line for quite some time. You know, and this is the first we're seeing Palat there on the ice with the Devils jersey. And he is fitting in just like we were hoping he was going to. You know, Palat might have been playing down on the third and second line in Tampa, but up here, you know, over here, they're not as loaded as the old Tampa Bay Lightning are. So, you know, he's going to move up and he's going to play with Jackie Boy. And you could already see, you know, some of that, you know, coming to fruition already. And Holtz just found himself, even on Jack Hughes' second goal, Holtz was putting a nasty screen on there in front of the net. Like, he was going to those areas, and that's what we saw last year. Or rather that's what we didn't see last year. Was Holtz looked lost out there. He looked like the game was too fast. He looked like he didn't know where to go. He looked like he was confused out there on the ice. So far, and again, it's only preseason, we know that, and we're playing against split squads and everything like that. But he has had a pretty, pretty good showing there with Palat and Hughes. And like we were talking about before, I don't know how you can send him back down right now. Like, he looks ready for the NHL. So,
yeah.
Sam Bennett, welcome to the club.
It's going to create
Florida
issues,
Florida Center.
When we get down to the nitty gritty with our roster, it's going to cause some issues. The Tatars, the Johnsons, you know, the McLeods, everyone that's going to be on that bubble there. It's going to be interesting when you got a Fabian Zetterlin, when you got a Jesper Boqvist who've been around and are no longer waiver eligible.
Yeah, but those guys also have to produce. If you're going to put them into the lineup and you're going to bump somebody out like McLeod, McLeod is not going to light up the scoreboard. But he is super reliable in the faceoff. So if you're going to bump somebody like him out, or if you're going to bump out somebody like Andre Johnson, the greatest wide receiver the Texans have ever seen, if you're going to bump either of those two out, then these guys better step in, and they better be able to like produce, not right away, but they better be able to like be consistent and produce. Because I think that's the one knock against Johnson is like, or Johnson or whatever, is the fact that he will have like moments where he heats up and then he will cool down real quick. And then it's like, he can't buy a goal for a month. And then he'll like, boom, he'll put up like 2-3
bunches,
you know, in two games. Yeah, exactly.
Scores in bunches. But the hope with that is that this will breed competition and breed getting the best out of these players. That's the situation you want. And again, like I was saying earlier, we're in this position for the first time in a while where we have multiple players going for only a couple spots, and my hope is, and all our hopes is, that this brings out the best in these players and to push them to know that, like, hey, you have this spot for now, but you're just keeping it warm potentially for someone else if you cool down.
Yeah,
and that's really that's a perfect situation where if those spots like that. And if it's not working out, it's just next guy up. Let's go. Jump in the spot. You're in the lineup tonight. Sorry, you're watching from the press box. Try to figure out what you did wrong. And, maybe your spot will come back up. Depends what goes on.
Our depth is unreal this year. It really is.
That's so good.
Knock on the old wood there, because, like, that's a good problem to have, but –
yep.
It has to be depth that's going to deliver. That's going to be there to make a statement. And listen, I know there's a lot of people that like Stillman was one of the cuts in the roster cuts, right? In the first round cuts. And a lot of people were like, Stillman was a waste of a draft pick. I don't know. The jury's out right now. You got to give give some time to it. Like, he hasn't even had his cup of coffee in the NHL yet.
Yeah.
Give him time. Give him, you know, see what happens. Looking at a lot of the other draft picks that, you know, the Devils have made in the last 2 years, like, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And by the way, I don't know if anybody else saw, but our friend Shakir just had his first goal in the KHL this year.
Okay.
A couple nights ago. So,
I heard about it. I wasn't able to watch the video, but I heard it was a good one.
It was a monster shot. And I got to tell you, it's funny because, like, sometimes when we talk about the defensive prospects of this team, when you have, like, Nemish and you have Hughes and you have what's his name? They just drafted Walsh. Him this year from – no, we, yeah, Walsh, but nope, not Ball. Not the murderer. Come on, the kid that they just drafted from Michigan. He had 2 goals in Michigan's last game.
Oh, yeah. Saw that too. We're not good at names tonight.
Sam Wunos.
Seamus Casey.
Seamus Casey, thank you. Beast, get your act together.
Oh, man.
Take the podcast seriously if you don't know that name.
It's a good thing Sam knows these names because we don't. It's a good thing Sam knows them all.
Oh, by the way, Lucas Raymond, welcome to the club.
There you go.
It's getting harder and harder now. It is actually a pretty good pick. It's a quality pick for where I got him. Ooh, Seth Jarvis. All right. I might have to pick up Seth Jarvis next. So the defensive depth that this team has, and it seems like Seamus Casey might be another one of those really good, draft picks by our good old boy there, Fitzy over at the GM spot. But one of the things that when we talk about depth in this team in the forward position right now, it's first of all, it's good to have because everybody knows this team, unfortunately, is a little bit injury prone. And we want Jack to be able to go into the season and actually, you know, play an entire season and possibly push for 80 to 100 points. I know people will say that's crazy, but I don't actually think that's crazy at all.
No.
But, I mean, if you have the depth that this team does, God forbid something happens to one of these guys, the hope is that somebody can just step in and take over. And it's not a step back. So, I don't know, man. Right now on paper, yeah, it looks great, but let's see some of that depth actually come up and make an impact.
Yeah, I think you're looking at these lines here. You know, you got your if you're thinking the way things are right now, you got your Holtz, Hughes, and Palat. Your second line looking like Sharon Govich, Nico, and Bratt. You got a third line of Mercer, Halla, Wood, and. Man, that's a lot of guys vying for that fourth line over there, you know, like. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I say. It feels. Yeah.
What?
That was a
why
little
foghorn leghorn.
Foghorn leghorn for you. I say. I don't know. It just popped out. I say, it's a good problem to have there. In your,
you sound like Charlie when he's when they're trying to sell the gas and stuff like that. When he like puts on the Texas. Well, now you're just talking like Foghorn Leghorn.
That's a great episode.
Oh man, but I mean, those are three solid lines there that can really make the team move. And what do we always talk about too when we see teams go into the playoffs? They're rolling four lines. They can roll four lines. They don't have to cut back. So, I mean, this looks like a team that might actually be able to roll four lines this year frequently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is going to be this depth is going to be a nice change and something that'll be exciting to see when you have, you know, four dangerous lines that, you know, opposing teams are going to have to sit there and scratch their heads, and go, well, who the hell are we going to defend against more?
Yeah.
You know, that's really the hope.
Holtz or Hughes?
You know, and it, yeah. You know, and just like,
or Bratt?
Yeah. Like, you want to make it a hard, you want to make that preparation to play the Devils hard for the other team. Do you want that preparation time in practice when the teams are coming in or when you're going there? You want them looking at the Devils going, what the hell do we do with this team? Who are we going to focus on? You want
Marion's Studenich, by the way, is the name.
Oh, Marion Studenich. That's right.
Studenich.
All right. There you go. Popped in my head.
There you go.
Yeah, we don't want to make John Marino, Mr. Zetterlin.
Welcome to John Marino.
Oh, John Marino got drafted, huh? Oh, good job.
Hey, man. Why not? Yeah, I think he's going to have a good year. I think Marino's going to have a surprisingly good year.
Our defense looks stacked as well. There's a lot of guys. There's a lot of depth there. Riley Walsh has looked pretty solid in this early going of preseason. Hoituk, Ball, Nemex, and then you got all the regulars there, like Brendan Smith. You're going to see how he comes into play. But Marino, Severson, Graves, I think we're going to have a monster year from Dougie Hamilton. I think Dougie's going to come out staying healthy this year.
Yeah, he's looked good so far.
Dude, I think he's very motivated after last year with the jaw injury and how far it lingered. I don't think any of us thought it would linger that far and really affect him that much. I mean, that was a nasty jaw break that he had there that really took its toll on him for basically the rest of the season. So I think Dougie is just extra motivated to come out, play hard, put some points on the board. He's looked super focused again preseason. But you can just tell he's got that step already. And usually, guys are just, they're getting their groove back there in preseason. But he just looks like he's ready to fire.
Yeah. And
that's what you want. It could be the extra motivation, too, of watching the playoffs from home last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say something very similar. Like, you kind of hope that some of these guys that had – an injury-prone season where, like, a little bit of an off-season. There's a couple guys that are going into a contract year. Don't forget, Damon Severson's going into a contract year. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, Severson, and I don't know. Listen, if this dude is playing for a contract with this team or any other team, he should have a show-out year. And last year, he had a pretty decent season. Irregardless to, like, what some people think, Severson had a decent season.
Yeah, his best season ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, according to some people, that we should just get rid of him and maybe even put him up there for Seattle to take, for example. So who would ever say something crazy like that? The expansion draft came around. Yeah, get rid of Severson because we don't need him. But he's playing for a contract. You got guys that are... You got guys that are coming off of an injury year that are kind of like a Hamilton and a Jack Hughes that are a Hughes. Like, listen, he at the best of his point in his season last year was at like 1.65 points per game. He was outpacing Connor McDavid. He was outpacing like other like top elite players in the league. If he could stay healthy and he can produce the way we saw it at his peak last year, He's going to be, listen, this team is going to be out all over ESPN. The next outdoor games, you might hear the Devils thrown out there. I'm just saying, because they love them some good old American hockey players.
That'd be nice.
That they can put the flag, the ESPN flag behind them. And I'm all for it, by the way. I'm all for it. Jack Hughes, and his contract is going to look better and better and better because if we got him for 8 years at $8 million per year, it's going to look like a steal when that dude's putting up like a $120 points per season. Anyways, I'm going off on a tangent. But yeah, I feel like there's a lot of guys that are in a very good prove it kind of position this year.
Same thing with just the two guys that we're kind of like toying with a little bit in the sense of that we don't know where they're going to land, Tatar and Janssen.
Yeah.
Minnesota Wild. They have red in their jersey.
A little bit, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's in the logo, yeah.
It might be maroon, but whatever. It's close enough.
So now we're going for red trim. or Red Axe.
My trim. Yeah, yeah, I picked somebody who was in a Columbus Blue Jacket, so.
They got a little red, don't they?
They got a little red.
They had a red jersey at one point. Their third jersey was red, I believe.
Really?
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
With the cannon?
No way in the Wayback Machine. Within the Wayback Machine, no. I think they had like a red jersey with that weird-looking B character on it. I'm going to look it up right now, and I'll prove it.
I'm doing the same thing.
I always hated that B character.
That B character. Who put a B character on that jersey?
Hey, you know what? I forgot to mention it. Hello to everybody on YouTube Live and Facebook Live and Twitter Live and Twitch. Thank you for all the likes, follows, and subscribes. Slam that button. Like Cam Jansen. We got Bachalupe and Steven and David Fritz.
Yeah, see? It's that. I don't know if you can see
Ramona.
That. I think that was
NJ Dill 1525.
Yeah, the reverse retro one.
Zetterlin should definitely play over Jansen. Got some We Want Sam calls out there. You hear that, Sam? Well, they want you. Your audience is calling for you.
The people want Sam Woo. They love Sam Woo.
They love the Sam Woo. All about the Sam Woo. Well, we wanted to say hi to everybody out there.
Yeah, Severson, thank you guys for listening and watching every week.
Severson had a good Bachalupe. Severson had a great offensive year.
you can't say that name in like a very serious. So did Mr. Bachalupe. Yeah.
Hey, where's the beef?
The Beefalytics. We got a lot of guys with Beefalytics now, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Severson had a good year on offensive side, but I thought his defense was okay. I didn't think it was as terrible as it's been in the past. I thought he took some steps forward.
He had a very much improved season.
Sam can tell you all about the butt puck and everything else like that, you know. There was no butt puck. He didn't score. I don't think he scored on us last year. David Severson has the knack for the own goal as well. I can't remember if he scored on us last. He probably did at some point. He seems to do it every season at least once or twice. Yeah.
I will tell you this from experience. When that happens, and at least from the goaltending standpoint, is you never let those defensemen live that one down. If you want to hear that, ask Billy Dean on Hockey Untapped about the one-on-one goal he scored on me. He'll blame me when it was not my fault. He will blame me up and down, and it was not my fault. However, I still let him hear about it to this day.
As you should. As you should. Even if it's a pickup game.
That's going to be the big difference on this team is if Bernier does come back, we even have depth of goaltending as well. And we may have goaltenders with a plus 900 save percentage, which would be unbelievable for this team. Yeah. That makes it a whole other world.
I'll tell you what, Blackwood the other night playing against the Rangers, taking 17 shots in the first period.
In the first period, he looked good.
Yeah,
he stood on his head. They came out flat, you know, and Blackwood really kept them in that game, man.
Well, Shorts guy, if you were on a team, and maybe this has happened to you, I don't know. If you were on a team, even though it's preseason, and you just took 17 shots in one period, and you didn't let anything in, do you go into the locker room and say to anybody? Do you look at the defense and be like, you guys going to show up? You guys even going to be here today? With that weird Northern Jersey accent.
I have been in that situation. It really depends on the game. It depends on the game that's in front of you. If you're getting outshot
17-4, like the Devils.
I've been there. I've been there. It's after one. You know, after one, you're probably going to go into the locker and be like, hey, just a reminder, I'm doing my job. Can you guys, F and do yours? You know, you can say something simple like that. Or you can, you know, look at the situation. It is preseason, so you have to assume that it may not be as tight as a regular game. And you could also take it as a situation where you're like, well, yep, they had 17 shots on goal. None of them went in. I did my job. I'm playing fantastic. And you just kind of go with that mindset as well. It's where you're just on your game. It's it's when that continues throughout the game. And at some point, like, at the, you know, when you have a defenseman that comes up to you and be like, oh man, great save. I was like, listen, man, I'm doing my job. You guys got to go, you got to give me some help. There are other times where you go in there and you lose their, you have to lose your mind on the team because sometimes they just need that wake up call. But a lot of times, but you know, this is not, not say that the forwards know and the defensemen know when they're letting you down and you are doing everything to keep them in that game. They know that. And a lot of times you don't really have to say much just because they realize that you're saving their ass multiple times. And sometimes if you want to stay in that mindset, you really can't even lose your mind because you don't want to lose that focus of, all right, I just made 17 saves in a period, get some water. All right, move on. Period number two. Sometimes you'd rather just keep that focus as well, just to keep making those saves too. So it's really dependent on the game. For something like a preseason game like this, you know, you're going to see guys that are on the ice in front of you that you're probably not going to see again, potentially, because I believe cuts are made the very next day. So in that situation, it's completely different because you know that there are guys that are out there that are you know, pushing for their, it's their final chance, and you're probably not going to see them again until, you know, preseason next year or, you know, if ever. It's situational, really, is what a long-winded answer to your question is. It's situational, and you've got to be smart to see what's going on in front of you and know, like, to pick and choose when you're going to say what you're going to say, if you're going to say anything at all.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, in this game, there were some people that you probably are going to see quite often, you know, like a Damon Severson, possibly Thomas Hickey, Riley Walsh, Nemec. Okay, I forgot that those two played there. Kind of newbies.
Yeah.
Hoituk, another newbie. Gearston.
He had a big hit in that game too, boy.
Oh, yeah. He
that
did.
That dude can play the lumber.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay, maybe it wasn't as stacked with I could have sworn that Dougie played, but I guess not. He was in that other game, the one previous.
I feel like Blackwood got a little bit of a lesser roster in front of him that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, but even still, sometimes you standing on your head for 17 shots motivates – if the players are able to wake up in front of you by seeing your performance and going – holy crap, it would be 3-0 right now. If not for him, we have to do something right now.
Right.
It's like I said, it's situational. It's all situational. And you have to be smart and know what's – plus you also have to know your teammates. You have to know what you can tell your teammates in order to try to get them. And you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's just – it's as professionals, these guys should be able to make that change. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys should be able to see the situation as well and be like, all right, we have to score. But even at the professional level, sometimes you get those games and they're just clunkers and it's just no one is making a pass properly. It's just you can only do so much from your crease. You can't score. You can only keep them out as best you can. Sometimes it's just that's the nature of the game. And you know, you say that you speak up when you need to. But going back to that game that Blackwood played, he kind of had the lesser roster in front of him. So he must have – it wouldn't have shocked me if he went into that game knowing he was going to get a peppered. Lot of work.
Yeah.
Peppered, yeah.
Well,
and then sometimes you want that. But that was good for Blackwood because that showed what Blackwood was capable of doing coming off of the, you know, the really weird – season they had last year. So it's one of those situations where he almost, you know, speaking from my experience, I don't know what Blackwood was thinking, but he may have also potentially welcomed that type of situation where he's like, this is what I want. I need the proof and I want to show everyone that this is my net, this is my crease, and this is why. And that's, you know, going in with that mindset too is another, it playing a position a lot of the times is so much about mindset versus the actual skill. It's just having that thought that you're going to stop every stop And with that roster in front of him, I guarantee he walked into that game. It wasn't going to be a surprise. He was going to get peppered. And it was just one of those things where it was like, all right, well, let me show them what I can do with this roster in front of me.
Is that actually fun for a goaltender at times? Like just getting all those shots like that and just you get in a, you get like in a zone and you're like, give me another, give me another, give me another. Like, so, is that like
being at the bar and so asking for shots, right?
Well, I mean, like, you know, because you always hear about when Marty was in there, you know, he get like 15 shots a game and it was like, oh, it's so amazing. He can still make these saves even though he only has to make so little and he's like in and out of the game so much. I would kind of think like sometimes getting, you know, especially being at a preseason game, like if it was a regular season or a playoff game, obviously you're like, no, I'd prefer less shots. But in that situation, I think that'd be kind of like fun for the goaltender.
It depends. It depends. It depends on the goaltender and it depends on the types of shots you're getting. If you're getting shots that are like, two, three, four, like quick succession, like you know, the rebounds are there. The defenseman's not clearing anyone out. The other team's getting chances. That's not fun when you're getting stuff like that. But some goalies thrive on it. I coached a kid for my high school team. There was a game he made. I mean, he thrived when he got shelled, which was good because the team wasn't very good defensively. when he had.
You're doing great back there. Like, I love it. I love it.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. I was the one on the bench losing their minds at the defense for how many shots were being let up. But he thrived in that situation. He had at least one game. He has the club record for most saves in a game, and it's something like 74.
Oh, my God. In a non-overtime game. And did you win or lose that one?
Oh, we lost that game, but I think he faced somewhere about 80 shots in total, somewhere in that neighborhood for the game.
Wow.
But he thrived.
God.
He thrived in those situations because he was the type of goaltender that would just whatever came at him, he would get whatever he needed to get in front of that shot to make the save. Because there were games where
like
he would face, sort of, yeah. Because there were other games where he would face just a fraction of that and not look very good because he never got into that flow. It's one of those again. It's the position is situational and mindset. You've got to take, you know, your situation, and some goalies, Brodeur was able to thrive in, you know, 15 or less shots in a game, which everyone was like, oh, Brodeur didn't see many shots. It doesn't really make him great. It's like, well, if you've never played the position, you don't know how hard it is to go 10 minutes without, you know, in between shots. That's very difficult. It's not that easy. It's a matter of your conditioning as well. If you're conditioned enough to where you can withstand that many shots and not be tired out, if your team's keeping the shots from the outside, making them really easy shots, you can face them all day long. But like I said, it's those in tight shots that your team's giving the puck up, you know, in the slot multiple times. They're making passes. They're giving away pucks, you know, towards the side of the net. They're getting quick passes to the crease, quick passes to the slot. It really depends on situational. Some goalies love it. Sometimes it's fun. Other times it's just like, I just need a freaking break. Like, this is just too much.
And as our good friend Kyle here, I think, pointed out, that was Bocciagalup over there. It's a contract year for Blackwood as well. And Kyle just pointed out there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys on contract here, so we should be getting some pretty good effort going on.
We're going to the cup, baby. With all these guys on contract here, we're going to the cup. And then we won't pay any of them.
They're all going to be looking for money. And Severson is, you know, we were just mentioning him as well. You know, he's on a contract here. I mean, we're going to have some decisions to make. Him and Ryan Graves, you know, Blackwood. You know, Bernier comes off the books. Tatar comes off the books. Janssen comes off the books. That's a good chunk of change, but I don't know if that's enough to sign all of them. So there's going to be some decisions to make, and these guys are going to be playing hard. That's why would be surprised if one of them is not traded by the year being up between Severson and Gravy. I don't want to see it happen, but I don't know if we can keep both of them at the end of the year. And why not try to get something for them, you know, while we can?
I just hope that if we do trade one of the two of them, we're trading from a position of we're improving our team for a playoff run instead of just dumping players.
I mean, with our depth, though, I don't think you can say that we're dumping, because we have so many guys that are, it looks like they're ready to take that next step finally. So,
which is nice, but I'm basically, what I'm saying is I want us to be near or in a playoff spot to where we're making improvements if we're going to let guys go like this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but you look at, we're going to have a lot of cap room next year if we don't make, if we don't bring a few of these guys back. And if you put the team in a position where maybe they're like teetering towards a playoff position this year, or they're like actually making that push, you could still move some of these guys. Like, let's say Riley Walsh starts the year in the AHL. He's having a monster year in the AHL. We're getting close to the trade deadline. Somebody needs a defenseman. We can move Severson to a team that needs a defenseman. And not that I want to move Severson. I always like that guy.
Hypothetically.
No matter what Sam says.
But he's got good value right now. He's coming off the career year.
Great value. So now is the time that, you know, you want to try to cash in those chips. So maybe you move him and then you bring Riley Walsh in, and you're not really missing out on anything. You know what I mean? So you're taking somebody, maybe you even, like, if you traded Severson away, you're trading him for, you know, stonks. Get some stonks on that boy. No, you trade him for like some, you know, some draft picks or something like that. So you don't have to trade away Severson for, you know, anything immediate. But if you do, maybe you're going to bring in some scoring help for Jack Hughes to put on his line. Maybe Holtz is doing well, but not lighting it up like you want, or you feel like you need to bring somebody in here that can really start putting some points on the board with Hughes. You have options. So the hope is that the team is pushing towards a playoff spot. And then if you need to move any of these contracts, you're doing it because you're making a team better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of what I was saying, is you want to be making the team better, not just trying to amass more picks to try to improve your team that way.
Yeah. But we do have a Nemex. You know, we do have a Riley Walsh looking to, you know, make that jump. On the other side, if you happen to trade a Graves, you got a Ball, you got an Ojtuk that can step in there. So we mm-hmm. have these guys that are ready. We don't have all the positions for him right now, which is, again, it's a good problem to have. It's one of those nice Absolutely. Problems to have. The depth that we have on defense, on offense, even at goaltending there. You know, having three goalies like that with Vanacek, Blackwood, and then if Bernier does eventually come back, you know, he is a veteran that you could probably throw out there at some point as well. Nico Daws and Akira Schmidt have been looking, you know, pretty good as well. So you have this depth kind of all around, but I think it's like a buyer and seller type of deal when it comes to the deadline. I think we're going to end up trading either one of Severson or Graves. If anyone wants Tatar or Janssen, you know they're going to – woo! They'll be out the door in a second, you know, if anyone comes calling for them. But I can like Beer Baron was saying, I can see – them like trading someone like a Graves or Severson and trying to restock the youth down there, because Nemex, he's making a big jump real quick, it looks like. Luke Hughes is not that far away either. Seamus Casey.
Seamus. Yeah. You have options now.
Yeah.
Options.
Which we haven't had in the past.
Yeah.
You know, they're not that far. Stockpiling,
and not just options, but like
giving us these options. Good options.
Yeah, and like top-end options. Well, yeah, you know, when you suck for a long time, you usually get rewarded with, like, good draft picks. So, I mean, all that, you know, terrible hockey is hopefully paid off in the sense of like they're going to be.
That's the hope.
These guys are going to be able to come in and make an impact.
Yeah, Pasternak is another name that's been out there. You know, we've heard rumors about him. Our boy Kyle was just hitting us up about that on YouTube. I mean, he would look pretty nice up there on that top line. You know, can you imagine that?
Would
Pasta,
be nice.
Palat, and Hughes up there. I mean, we want to talk about Holtz as well, but whew. Imagine moving Holtz to the second line with Nico and Brat. I mean, that would be deadly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some moves out there to be made.
If they're there. I mean,
yeah, if they're there and we can make them and they're in our benefit, absolutely. You know, it's whatever's going to make this team better in the long run and give us that best chance of making the playoffs and also succeeding in the playoffs. You make that for the betterment of the team, no matter who it is, no matter how many people may or may not like you or them. You make those moves.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I think we've about hit the old threshold over here, and then we're not going to go into overtime. So we should start wrapping it up and get it going with some final thoughts for the show today. I just want to say thank you again to everyone on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch for tuning in, checking us out, whether it be live, or perhaps on your morning commute tomorrow, either way. We appreciate all the likes, follows, subscribes, and downloads. Keep them coming. I mean, my final thought is I'm really, really curious after reading that article from our boy Nick Villano. What are they going to do with Fabian Zetterlund and Jesper Boqvist? Don't want to see those guys walk for nothing. And if Holtz makes this team, you have a decision to make. And what's it gonna be? So that's my final thought, is seeing how those two guys in particular play over this next week of preseason games. We got what, three of them going on, I believe. We got Boston tomorrow.
I think so.
Boston tomorrow, then Islanders Thursday. Yeah, am I looking at that right?
I think it's the Icelanders on Thursday.
Yeah.
So gonna be real interested to see how those guys play. Especially also Alexander Holtz too. So yeah, Monday at Boston, Monday home against Boston, Thursday at the Icelanders, and then Saturday at Boston to wrap up the preseason.
Yep.
Mr. Beer Baron?
Oh, all right, I'll go. I guess my final thoughts are there. I want to say hi to my old man who's he's in the hospital right now, recovering from taking a fall today and breaking a few bones and things like that. So he's going into surgery tomorrow morning. You're going to do good there, Pops. You'll be fine. But, I just want to say, that might sound stupid, but always make sure you tell the ones that you love them. Always make sure you reach out and talk to the people in your lives. A lot of the times we kind of get caught up in our own and we don't realize how much time goes by in between talking to people, but it's a good distraction to watch Devils hockey. It's a good feeling going into the season, and I can't wait for you to be better, Dad. We'll take you to the home opener. Hopefully when you're all rested up, a couple of slings and broken bones and stuff like that, but get well soon and we'll see you soon. That's it.
Absolutely.
Well said. So my final thought is I'm excited for the depth that this team has this year and what we're going, what we're looking at having. And I'm excited to see depth at the goaltending position as well, because you all know that's my key focus with this team is that goaltending position. So having that depth, having three solid goaltenders right now, makes me very happy. So, the depth overall, though, from what I've seen so far, it's we've got good problems right now. We have problems. We our problems are good. So let's keep that up.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap everything up here. I want to say thank you to the great Sam Wu for producing us every week here on the Let's Go Devils podcast. And don't forget, We're going to be doing podcasts from American Whiskey Bar right across the street from the Prudential Center. It's the one you always see when you're walking into the Rock. Guess what? Your boys are going to be there for Game Day Live and Devils After Dark and hopefully some other just random podcasts as well, having a good time. But we are pumped and excited for you to come down and hang out with us at American Whiskey. It's going to be fantastic. Drinking some beers, eating some food, talking some Devils hockey. And Sam Wu, don't forget, is giving bet information now. All the wrong stuff. We've been checking his bets, his scores, you know, on Devils After Dark. Him and Vinny kind of give their score predictions on Game Day Live. Sam has a half a point. He's got an OTL. He got a half of one score right so far. So he's got a half a point going Analytics. Into
Analytics.
Real quick,
Sam's
thank
just
you to
curious
Joseph
about the Beefalytics.
Yeah, the Beefalytics. Thank you to Joseph and Super Dave. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we'll be back for some Game Day Live and some Devils After Dark tomorrow. Until then, let's go Devils.